In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
I'm not going to speak this morning about our gospel passage. I want to speak about some more of the nativity themes, but I want to just say one brief word about how we interpret that passage. We are oftentimes led to interpret that gospel, which speaks especially at the end about many are called and few are chosen, and we have all of those who beg an excuse from the wedding feast, and there seems to be the anger of the Lord, and so he sends the servant out into the highways and the byways and the hedges, as if what is being spoken about is some humans who are chosen out of all those who are called, some who are good and some who are bad. And the reality is that this is a parable about all of humanity. It is a parable about all of humanity who, beginning with Adam, begged, so to speak, to be excused from the grace of God. And it is the servant, Christ, who goes himself into the highways, the byways, the midst of the poor, the midst of the beggars, in other words, to all of us. Not to a select category of us, but to all of us, and chooses us because he becomes one with us. So for what that's worth, it's not a whole homily on it, but I just want to put that out there, that it is not about one category or segment of humanity. It is about all of humanity, and the servant who goes out into the byways is the God who becomes like us because we all are the poor and the beggar and the impoverished and the needy. But we are also all the ones who have found something that we love more than God and sought an excuse to move away from him. So, for what that's worth. All right, now for the real homily. We are, what, 12 days away from the nativity of Christ? It's exciting, isn't it? I'll be honest with you, this is, and I probably say this every year, this is actually my favorite feast. It's my favorite feast for a lot of reasons, but one of the things that I will say that is always present with how we celebrate this feast is how busy we get. And it is very easy for us in the midst of our excitement, in the midst of all of the celebration, to forget, to be lost in all of the busyness. It's busy because we have many things in our family lives that are going on. We have many things that are going on with the conclusion of school and the coming together of the ends of projects or those sorts of things for work, perhaps, so that we can have time off from work to be with our families. We're coming to the end of grades and assignments and tests. We're coming back home if we've been at college. And we are filled also with all kinds of activities at church, not least of which might be the St. Nicholas Festival that we just had yesterday, and all of the preparation that goes into that, and then also all the exhaustion that we feel afterwards as well, and many more services that we have during this season. And then there's the fast as well. So there are a lot of things that are going on in our lives at this time of the year. And while it is common for us to hear the phrase, remember the reason for the season, what I would like to encourage you to think about is for you to recognize, perhaps beginning with our festal celebration today, our commemoration of the forefathers of Christ, of all of those who, whether under the law or with the prophecies, whether they were before the law was given, because some of the hymns that we spoke about was Abraham and those who believed before the law, all those who anticipated the coming of the Messiah and the restoration of the loving relationship between God and man that is what we call the kingdom of God. That anticipation is what we are called to. That is what our entire ethos at this time of the year is. And as we do begin to come closer to the conclusion of this Lent, of this Advent Lenten season, and as we do come to the feast itself, and we come to the conclusion of all these various busy things, may all of them be the place where we practice anticipation. In other words, I'm not encouraging you to say, or to teach your families that you need to cut out all these other things and you should be ashamed of yourself because you have all of these other things. These things oftentimes, if there is something that should be cut, then you should recognize that. You should know what is too much or what is distraction. But many of the things that we have in our life are there because they are part of how we practice our celebration. But what happens, what is forgotten, is the mind and the heart. So we may be, for instance, preparing food for time with family, and we feel the hectic nature of the timeline we're on. We feel the craziness of all the things that are going on. We struggle with that particular family member who might talk about that particular topic that nobody wants to talk about, or whatever may be the thing. And our mind and our heart lose the focus upon the anticipation of the coming of our Lord, that says that these encounters are blessed by God because He is coming into the midst of those things as well. But there is a distinction between saying, I get frustrated about something or I get overwhelmed about something and therefore I should cut that out of my life. Sometimes we do have to, but sometimes we simply have to recall ourselves back to the reason that these things are important to us. And recognize, too, that in the midst of all the circumstances of our life, Christ comes into the midst. He comes into our midst, into the midst of those encounters with our family and our friends, with the maybe co-workers that we have at the Christmas party or whatever it may be, all the different things we may encounter. He comes into the midst of that. He comes into the midst of all the circumstances of our life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, in order to fill them with Himself. It's very important for us to remember that. Because usually what those things are filled with, when we get stressed out and tired and exhausted, is our anxiety and our worry and our shame and our guilt and our fear and our anger and our frustration and all of those things. And even though that moment is a chalice in which our life and the life of Christ are able to be united as in an incarnation, if we become filled with those anxieties, instead of incarnation of Christ and the union of Christ in our life, we separate ourselves, we make excuses for why we don't have time in our minds and in our hearts for the Lord who comes into our midst. We think that our life is filled with the land and the animals and whatnot that are more important, and therefore we have an excuse to abandon the presence of the Lord. And yet He comes into our midst in order to make of us prophets and priests and kings, to make our human relationships filled with a divine relationship, human love filled with divine love. He comes into our midst in order to make what is human divine, to make you God's by grace as He is by nature. How can we possibly forget that? And yet we do. And so the way we remember is by the constant anticipation of His coming, the longing for His coming. We awake in the morning, we make the sign of the cross, and we say, Lord, come quickly. And at every moment of our life, of our day, as we go through the day, we ask a blessing upon what it is that we are doing and who we are encountering. You know, we sometimes think that that is such a simple thing, but thank God it is, because even that's not always easy. It is simple to be able to make the sign of the cross, to bless something, to ask God to come into the midst of that, to be Emmanuel, into the midst of that encounter, into the midst of the work, to say, Lord of all pots and pans and things, make me a saint by doing the dishes. Lord of laundry, make me a saint by doing the laundry. Lord of homework, make me a saint by doing my homework. Lord of all family gatherings and potlucks, make me a saint by getting together with the family, by having a potluck. May it be filled with Your presence. And I long for that, I long with anticipation for that presence. My heart burns when I think of You, as we heard in our Orthros Gospel this morning about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. That passage never ceases to grab me. Did not our hearts burn within us? That is both a longing and anticipation of Christ and true knowledge of Christ. And so we are given this season not to be forgetful, not to see the circumstances of our life as being an exile from the presence and the love of God, but instead it is very precisely the place where our life is restored to us as Eden, as paradise. He comes and he does come quickly. We're only 12 days away. We are only 12 days away from the coming of our Lord, who says to us, I am the God who dwells in your midst. And the question for us is, are we the people who dwell in his midst? Or do we make excuse for that? Do we have an excuse to absentee ourselves from it? Do we see our life as being holy? And because we see it holy, participate in his holiness by living the life that is given to us. There is nothing in our life, nothing in our life. And I say that as a priest, a pastor, who knows my own sin, my own circumstances, my own shortcomings, but also knows those of the community that I love. There is nothing in our life that is without hope, that is not capable of being filled with the presence of God. And there is not one of us who is not capable of thanksgiving and therefore of salvation. And this time of the Advent fast is a time to fast from our anxieties, not from the circumstances of our life, but from the anxieties with which we fill our life, so that it might be filled then with the Lord who is coming. May God grant this to us, his presence, his life, his love, his peace, so that we can make of our life peace. Because he is the one who says to us that he desires us to be at peace with him and with one another. May he grant this to us all the remainder of these days of the fast. May we have a heart filled with anticipation, burning with a longing for his presence, so that when he comes, we are alive and awake to see the Lord like the five wise virgins. May he grant this to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Forgive me.